This is Warrior Sound Live.
Here comes Curry. Step back off the dribble three. Are you kidding me?
Here's Lawrence Scott.
Thank you so much. Our Warriors flashbacks continue here as we get set as the team to stream out We Believe coverage. And we start with the legend, the Hall of Famer. I'm Lawrence Scott with Tim Roy and Warriors former head coach Don Nelson, the winningest all-time coach in the NBA. Nelly joining us from Maui. And Nelly, thank you so much for being with us. How are you doing? How is the family? How are you holding up?
Oh, pretty good. I'm in jail, but I'm in a nice jail. I can look on the ocean every morning, so I guess I better not complain too much.
Nelly, when you sit there, are you still out on by Paia there or the coffee shop?
I was there yesterday, but you can't travel around too much today. We actually built a new house in Kihei, so I'm living in Kihei now, but I still have my business in Paia.
Well, I hate to have to take you from being mentally and actually in Hawaii, but back to Michigan for the concept of being at the Townsend Hotel and a fireplace setting where Larry Riley and you were looking at the state of the We Believe season as we became to know it, and it wasn't quite believable at that moment before the team goes on a 16-5 run, 16 wins, 5 losses, propelling the Warriors into the playoffs. But from Maui now to Michigan, help us go back to the time where it was almost this meeting of the minds that led to this great run that created that unbelievable playoff opportunity for the team.
Yeah, it's funny how that all worked out, because we weren't that strong, you know, for quite a bit of the season, and we just caught fire right at the end, and just made it one of the top series that I've ever coached or been involved in.
You know, Don, on that road trip, I remember you and I had a conversation, and you were kind of worried that this team wasn't going to catch fire at that point. Baron Davis was out. He came back right before that game in Detroit. But you weren't feeling very confident on that road trip that the team could get it going.
Well, it's tough to be on the road anyway. You don't have a dominating team. You know, you can get beat on any night. And it didn't look good at that time, for sure. You know, we had a lot of road games. And, you know, you had to get to a certain level. And I didn't see it at that particular time that it was going to happen.
When it culminated at the end of the regular season, that win at Portland and that locker room atmosphere, what comes back to you from that time? The joy that, hey, this thing worked out. This is happening here.
Yeah, we made it, I think, the last day of the season, and it was just a huge win for us. And that kind of got us started. That, you know, that made us believe in ourselves more than anything. I believed in the team at that point, you know what I mean? To finish the season the way we did, make the playoffs, you know, the last day, and then have to play the number one team. You know, we were all excited about it, and it just carried on from there.
Before we get to the playoffs, though, I have to ask you this, because people ask me about the We Believe team, and I say, well, flying with those guys was as close as I'm ever going to get to being on a real live pirate ship. But that was a cast of characters there. Where do you put that group in terms of all the teams you've been associated with in terms of personality?
That was varied. The personalities on that team were unique, and they were all different. They were all tough to deal with. Didn't have any saints, that's for sure. And, you know, we just kind of bonded together as a group, starting with Jack, you know, the way that Jack performed, you know, down that stretch. And, you know, when I look at everybody, you know, he and Baron were my two leaders of the team. And those guys had confidence that they could do, especially when we won a couple of games. We had a long way to go, but we won a couple of tough games on the road, and Detroit was one of them for sure. So it was really exciting, and the guys thought they could do it. They really did.
I remember the game one being where everyone started to believe in Dallas, the Warriors taking that game against the Mavs, and it's like, oh, what's happening here? And then before game two, which was not a Warriors victory, but it was a hard-fought game, you kind of were engaging in, not a mind games, but having some fun with it. Hey, we're just the schmoes. These are just Nelly's schmoes. But I felt like it decompressed the situation, and I was there covering those games and watching how you were using the media to tell a story that was a narrative. When you think back to what the general purpose of what that was, to start just calling the team the Schmoes, we're just lucky to be here. What was the psychology involved there? What were you thinking?
Well, just about what you imagine. I was looking for some things to hold on to. You know, we're playing one of the most dominant teams in the league, a team that finished first. And here we were just barely making it, you know. So I just tried to take all the pressure off the guys and said, hey, let's just go play their ass. You know, I told them that in the locker room. But in public, I was just saying, hey, you know, we don't have much of a chance. We're just the best Schmoes here. And, you know, you guys are probably going to beat us and all that kind of stuff. Trying to let their guard down. And one of the most exciting games that I remember was game two. You know, we were lucky enough to beat them in the first game, and in game two, I had a bunch of hotheads. You know, Jack, of course, was a hothead. Bear, he could get hot. And in game two, those guys both got thrown out of the game. And they were in the locker room, and we still almost won the game. I think we only lost by a point or two. That's when I knew that we could beat that team.
And one of the moves you made in that series, Don, was to put Steven Jackson on Dirk Nowitzki. Why did you make that move? And if you could, you know, what impressed you about the job that Jack did on Dirk in that series?
Well, first of all, he wanted to guard him. You know, Jack always wanted to guard the toughest guy. I mean, you know, we played L.A. and he wanted to guard Kobe, you know, and he wanted to get into him. And he was just a really competitive guy. So that was kind of a natural. And then he was 6'8", he was long, and he's one of the few guys that could kind of, you know, get into his skin a little bit and make it tough on Dirk. And then, of course, you know, we had a good strategy going, too, on, you know, his favorite moves and stuff like that. But we'd double-team certain times and not other times. We'd fake at him, and we tried to confuse him as much as possible. And then we had Jack, who was long enough that when he did get his favorite shot off, you know, Jack could contest it a little bit.
You know, the series goes 1-1 before heading to Oakland, and then the fans get involved, and it was like nothing before. That series and just the sea of yellow and just the atmosphere, how much did that help put things over the top in the series against the Mavs?
Well, it's what carried us through, because they had the better team. I mean, there's no question about that. You know, we've probably been lucky to win a game or two normal circumstances, but once the crowd got behind us and the confidence of the team and the confidence even of the coach at that time, I mean, after game two, I told the team, we're going to beat them. I mean, there ain't no doubt about it. We got these guys. And it just carried on from there. And, you know, being from Oakland and, you know, kind of a tough city, tough team, and it just kind of all blended. Everybody kind of got on the program.
Don, where do you put that series victory, the Warriors beating Dallas in six and that incredible game six, Jack got hot, but where do you put that series amongst all the other things that you've been able to do in your career? You played on championship teams, you coached great teams. Where do you put that series?
Well, it's right up there, because you know, it was a team that that didn't have much of a chance, really. When we started the season, you know, we just had so many obstacles to get over before we came to that unit that everybody saw in the playoffs. It took a long time to really get that blend and to get everybody's confidence, you know, on the same page. It didn't happen quickly, that's for sure. It happened late, but when it happened, boy, I'll tell you what, it ranks right up there with some of the greatest series I've ever coached. I've been lucky. I've been in some really great series. You know, one time we beat the Boston Celtics when I was in Milwaukee. And the next year we beat the 76ers, and they had won the title before, you know. You know, we had a good team in Milwaukee. We had a lot of great great series there. But this ranks right up there with any of them.
You know, in this hiatus from NBA games and the situation that the world is in right now, we're doing some replays of classic Warriors games, and the team on team platforms on our Facebook stream will have We Believe games, and we'll do a series of them from the regular season and then the playoffs. And, you know, we're talking with some of the other guys that were on the team that you coached, and Steven Jackson, in talking to us, said really the honor for him that helped propel him through all of this great success was that you had the belief in him and named him a captain. I mean, that love that the players had for you and how you empowered them, we're feeling it when we talk about this stuff. When you think of those guys and their character and why you were able to empower them in the way that you did, what was it that you were seeing? What did you know there that you had the secret sauce?
Well, I knew I had Baron, and, you know, Baron and I got along great, and so I knew I had him in my corner, and then I had to kind of, you know, with Jack, Jack was in jail at the time. He was, you know, he got in that fight in Detroit when he was with Indianapolis, so he was on a chain gang, and I'd call him, you know, every couple of days, see how he was doing, and he was dressed in a red pink uniform and working in the highway, you know, and, he had to work through that a couple of months, I think. So by the time I got him, you know, I had to figure out a way to get him to be my guy. I mean, I loved the way he played. He was just a terrific basketball player, but he had issues, you know, and he still does, of course. I think when he was young and his mom was carrying him, you know, I think there were some drug issues, and so he had some mental issues that he had to get through to be the guy that he is today, and thank God he did it.
Don, we haven't mentioned Jason Richardson, and there's a play in that Dallas series I remember where Jason got picked at midcourt by Devin Harris, I think it was, and he went down, and he didn't give up. He turned around, sprinted back, blocked the shot, and then the ball got thrown up the floor. Matt Barnes hit a three. And Avery Johnson called a timeout and just kind of kept the momentum going for the Warriors that night. What did Jason mean to that team, and how did he fit in?
Well, you know, JR was one of the big reasons we won that series. I mean, he was incredible. He doesn't get much credit, really, because everybody, you know, was talking about Baron and Jack and all the other guys. But he was a guy that was so consistent. And, you know, when he got hot, you just couldn't guard him. And on two or three of those games, he got unguardable hot. And he won games for us. And I don't think he ever got credit. He doesn't get the credit today for the job he did in that series.
Well, the whole thing was incredible with that game six and the energy in Oakland with the fan base. And it leads to a series where one of the most iconic dunks in NBA history, you have to say, Baron Davis going over the top of Andre Kirilenko. And when you saw what the Jazz were providing as a real opposition to the Warriors at that time, it still had to feel very good to see Baron really asserting himself in that series. And when you look back at just the entire experience, even leading up to the point that with the team a couple of years later that you then were coaching when you surpassed Lenny Wilkins, just that time period, your second stint with the Warriors after having coached the Mavericks and been with the Warriors during the Run TMC period, when you think back on just that general second stint, what were some of the things that you will always have with you?
Well, you know, I got so close to Jack during that season because, you know, he needed some extra, you know, comforting occasionally in coaching. So he and I got very close, and I really understood who he was, and we'd go out even in Oakland together, go to dinner, have a beer together, something like that, and just kind of hang. And I really fell in love with Jack just as a guy, you know, that had some things to overcome. So that, then, of course, with my closeness with Baron, JR, all those guys, just incredible. Maddie was just unbelievable in that series, you know, and had a great career after that. You know, we thought that might last for a while once we got it going, but of course, it only lasted that 1 year, really. And then after that, the team kind of fell apart.
Don, as we wrap this up, I want to bring it to the full circle, if you will, because you said it only lasted 1 year. But until the recent Warriors run, that team, and it still and always will, have a great place in Warrior fans' hearts. But you kind of set in motion this last tremendous run, you and Larry Riley drafting Stephen Curry. And I remember I was standing out in the hallway with Marcus Huffman. We were going to do an interview with you for the website. And you came out of the war room and you looked at me and you said, "We just got the best passer in the draft." And I remember thinking, well, he's the best shooter in the draft too. If he's the best passer, we've got something here. But what did you see with Stephen that you thought he had a chance to be a special player?
Well, during the NCAA tournaments, they've actually played St. Mary's right, you know, close by. So I drove over and watched the game, and although they didn't win that game, St. Mary's actually beat them. But this incredible player named Steph Curry was on the court, and I just fell in love with him. I just thought he was another Steve Nash. I had, you know, you don't see talent like that very often. And he was my guy after that game. I said, if there's a way we can get this guy, didn't look very good, of course, but if there's a way we can get this guy, that's our guy. I mean, it's just as simple as that. Let's try to get him. Let's move up in the draft. Whatever we got to do, that guy is a star.
We are so glad you did, and so awesome to hear from you and hear your voice and know that you are doing well. Don Nelson, thank you so very much for joining us here.
Thanks for having me on, you guys, and I'm looking forward to seeing the series myself.
Thank you so much for joining us here on Warriors Sound.
This has been Warriors Sound Live.
Right side three. Got it!